Revelation chapter 1, let's read verses 9 through 11, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Let's pray. Lord, we come today, and I want to thank you so much for the many blessings that you've given to us. Lord, thank you for letting us be here this morning. We realize the weather's turned bad again outside, or was earlier. But Lord, I'm just thankful that we're able to be here today, and I pray you keep us safe when we go home in a little while. Keep us safe from accidents and sliding off the road and falling and all the extra dangers that's out there on a day like today. But Lord, I'm thankful we're here. I pray you'd meet with us in a special way. Speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray for souls to be saved. We pray for the church, ministries out of the church. Be with those that are away and traveling. And Lord, we pray and just thank you for every blessing that you've given to us. Help us, Lord, to have our minds and hearts right. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all the answered prayer that you have worked in our lives. And we'll ask you once again just to have your way right now. Give liberty and bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Well, let's read verse number 10 one more time. Just the first part of the verse, that's where I want to start at this morning. The Bible said there in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning, just the subject, the Lord's day. And Noah doesn't like long titles, so I try to keep all my title's real short, but if I was given a longer title, what I really want to preach on this morning is how to spend the Lord's day when we do not have church. How to spend the Lord's day when we do not have church. Last Sunday, we did not have church. It was icy and bad weather, and well, maybe we could have, but we didn't. Sometimes it's hard to know what to do, but last Sunday, we didn't have church. And after a late breakfast at our house, we gathered around the kitchen table and we had a little Bible study. And I led the Bible study, and that's what I asked my family. I said, this is what we're going to study today. We're going to see what the Bible says, how we ought to spend the Lord's day even though we don't have church. And so we spent some time and we studied our Bibles and looked at that subject. And even as we were studying that, I thought that would be good to share with the church. That'd be good to preach on. And I told them, I said, I might even preach on this next Sunday. So be careful what you say. Be careful how you answer, because I think this would be good for everybody to think about. This is the first time in all the years that I've been preaching that they have ever physically help me study for a message. So if you get something out of it, you know, you tell them you enjoyed it today. But I'm going to give you some of the things that we studied about last Sunday morning in our devotional a little bit later on in the message. But first of all, I want to look at our scripture. And in verse number 9, we're going to read that again. Verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And those of you that know the setting of the book of Revelation, you know that John, he had been exiled by the Emperor Domitian. He had been banished, we might say, and sort of in a prison. He had been put on an island, and that was his punishment. And he says here in verse number 9, the reason that he's on the isle was for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It was because of his preaching and his testimony for the Lord, he had been exiled. And so here we find John in the book of Revelation, exiled to the island of Patmos. And you know, if you think about John here in chapter number 1, there was no church for him to go to. He had no church on the Lord's Day, on this Sunday morning. There was no church on this Lord's Day that he received the revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no members to get together with, no other Christians as far as we know. There's no choir, there's no preacher as far as I know, and it's hard for me to imagine this, but as far as we know, there's nobody else. Nobody else around for John to fellowship with or have church with or to study the Word of God with. Nobody else around. So John knew what it was not to have church like we generally think about church on the Lord's Day. And he could have easily been in that situation. He could have disregarded the Lord's Day. John could have said, well, here I am, I'm on the Isle of Patmos, nobody else is around, no preacher, no church, nobody. What difference does it make? What's the difference between Monday and Wednesday and Saturday and Sunday? John could have said, in my situation, it's all the same. What does it even matter anyway? But we learn here in the Word of God that John did not have that attitude. The Lord's Day was important unto him. And I wonder about us this morning, and we talked about this at home. Wonder how other Christians, how they spend the Lord's Day when we don't have church. How important is the Lord's Day unto us this morning, unto you? What if we had a winter this winter like they had? Was it in 1960? Am I right in saying that? I think it snowed every Tuesday for 6 or 8 weeks, and it was on the national news, and they had to fly food in, didn't have school for a month or 6 weeks or even longer than that. What if we had a winter like that? We just physically could not get to church on Sunday very much during the wintertime. What would you do with your Sundays if it was like that again? What if you had in your family or in your life a extended illness where you just couldn't get to church for a long time? What would you do? How would you spend the Lord's Day? What if there was a national emergency of some type in our country, some type of disaster, an earthquake, or what if war broke out? What if Christians were persecuted and it was hard for us to meet together? We didn't have the freedom to worship like we do today. What would you do? How would you spend the Lord's Day? And so we're going to look in the Bible and see some things here about the Lord's Day. First of all, I want to point out this. There is the institution of the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day is a Bible institution. I'll explain what I mean by that, but look what John said in verse 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Do you know that's a specific day? That wasn't just any day that he named the Lord's Day, but the Lord's Day in the Bible, in the New Testament, the Lord's Day is a specific day. It was a Sunday. That's what he's talking about here. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He said, I was in the Spirit on Sunday. That's what John's telling us here in verse number 10. And all throughout the Scripture, we have the principle of one day every week being the Lord's Day, being a day set apart unto the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, the Jewish people, they worshiped on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is Saturday. That's seventh day of the week. Now, sometimes Christians are guilty of calling Sunday the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is Saturday. It's Saturday. In the Old Testament Jews, they worshiped on Saturday or the seventh day of the week. And Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 said, "Thus the heavens and earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." That means He set it apart as being holy. The seventh day He set apart and He sanctified it because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. And so from the very first week in the creation of the world, there has always been a day that was sanctified and set apart as being the Lord's day. Now the Lord didn't institute that because He needed to rest, but He did that to give us an example that one day is the Lord's day. When God gave the law to Moses later on in the Bible, Exodus chapter number 20, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now that's not repeated in the New Testament, but that was part of the Old Testament law. It's one of the Ten Commandments that God's people would remember the Sabbath day. There's one day always in the Bible that is set apart as being the Lord's day. And it was to be a very special day. It was a day that was different from all the other days of the week. It was the Lord's day. Now in the New Testament Christians, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, Christians began to meet and worship not on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, but on Sunday, the first day of the week. And the reason they met on Sunday, the first day of the week, is because that's resurrection day. The Bible said in John 20 and verse number 1, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene unto the sepulchre. She came and found that the tomb was empty, the stone had been rolled away, and the Lord Jesus Christ, He had risen from the dead." And Christians begin to worship on Sunday. First day of the week. Today's the first day of the week. A lot of times we look at it as being the end of the week. But you look on the calendar. Sunday's the first day of the week. Saturday's the seventh day of the week. So today, to us New Testament believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, Sunday is the Lord's day. And you know what? It's the Lord's day if it's snowing or if the sun's shining. Still the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day if it's rain or shine. It's the Lord's day if it's winter or summer. It's the Lord's day in sickness and in health. Sort of sounds like being married, doesn't it? It's the Lord's day in peace or in times of war. It's still the Lord's day no matter what is going on. Sunday is the Lord's day. And John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." That's Sunday. He was talking about it's an institution, something that is an institution. Webster's dictionary says that it's something that is established by proper authority and intended to be permanent. I believe we still ought to worship the Lord and be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I don't see anywhere in the Word of God where we can wriggle or wiggle out of that we ought to worship the Lord on the Lord's day. And so today, Sunday, praise the Lord, the weather was good enough and wasn't anything emergency going on. And so we got to meet together and worship on this Lord's day. But last Sunday we didn't get to. But Psalms 18 and verse 24 says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Sunday's the Lord's day. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what the situation or circumstance is that we find ourselves in. So we find in the Bible the institution of the Lord's Day. Second of all, we find in the Bible the initiative of the Lord's Day. Look what John said. Verse number 9. He said this, I, John. Verse number 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, I noticed about this as I was studying it, that it wasn't like sometimes you read in the Old Testament where the Old Testament prophets or King Saul or King David or somebody like that talked about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon them. Now, the Spirit of the Lord does come upon people, and you see examples of that in the Bible. But here, John does not say, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me or came upon me. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Wonder if that could be said about us. I think most of the time, we wait upon the Lord to move upon us. But I tell you, we'd have a lot better church services if we would do everything we could to get in the Spirit on the Lord's day before we ever came to church. And that's hard for us to do. It's hard for us to get the world and the other 6 days out of our mind, out of our heart, long enough to get in a spirit, to get in a right frame of mind and heart in order to even be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In order to do that, you and I, we have to take the initiative in our spiritual life. And I wonder if it could be said of us this morning as the Lord looks down upon us and upon and into our hearts, if it could be said of us, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But I believe John took the initiative. I believe it was important enough to John that he knew it was Sunday and he said, I'm going to worship the Lord best I can in my circumstances. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He took some initiative to worship and pray and praise the Lord and whatever it was he was doing before the Lord spoke to him and gave him this vision that we have today, the book of Revelation. John took the initiative. Now I will say this morning, somebody has got to take the initiative when you don't have church. See, we get in such a rut that it's almost automatic for us. Come to church, somebody, Brother Dale's going to lead the singing. People in the choir is going to sing. You know, we do the same thing. We don't have a program, but we do the same thing. It's done for us. You can come, be here, and never even really participate in your spirit. The preacher's going to preach. Somebody's going to pray. We're going to all fulfill our part. What about when you don't have church? Somebody's got to take some initiative. If you don't take some initiative to worship when you don't have church, when you can't be at church, you know what? You're not going to worship on the Lord's day. Somebody's got to take some initiative. Now, if you're one person by yourself, you're going to have to be like John. You're going to have to take the initiative. That's what he did. Nobody's there prodding John, saying, John, it's Sunday. You need to worship the Lord today. John took the initiative. If you're 2 people, 3 people, 4 people, however many people in your family, somebody is going to have to take the initiative. But you know, if there's 2 of you, if there's 3 of you, Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 20, for where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If you've just got 2 or 3, you can have church. Isn't that a blessing? You can have church by yourself. It's you and the Lord. That's 2 gathered together in His name. Where 2 or 3, that's you and somebody else and the Lord. He said, I'll be there with you. I'll meet with you. You can have church. Just a few. Just 2 or 3 is what the Word of God says. To me, that's a blessing. You can have church. You should have church. Hebrews 10:25, this is one of the verses that I shared last Sunday morning. I said, no matter what the weather is, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. We see the day approaching of the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We should have church. We should worship the Lord, but somebody is going to have to take the initiative. Now, who is going to take the initiative in your home that you worship the Lord? Who's going to do it? I do not expect that Chloe take the initiative. She's 5 years old. I don't expect that my teenage one, I've only got one that's teenage, I don't expect her to take the initiative. I don't expect Noah to take. I don't expect Kim to take the initiative. I'm the father. I need to be the one that takes the initiative. I read in the Bible about Job over there in Job chapter number 1. You know, he was a spiritual leader in his family. He even had children that were grown and lived other places. But the Word of God says that he went out, he prayed, he sacrificed on their behalf. He was the spiritual leader in his family. It's up to us fathers. It's up to us daddies. Over in Acts chapter number 10, you remember about Cornelius? He's a lost man. But even Cornelius knew that he needed some preaching in his house. And it was Cornelius that sent for Peter. He wanted to have some preaching. He wanted to hear the Word of God and have the Word of God. I'm saying today, fathers, we need to take the initiative. You say, father's not there. Then mother, you need to take the initiative. But somebody's got to take the initiative. When I was growing up, a lot of times my dad was gone. We did not go to church and worship God just because Dad drove a truck and he was gone a lot of Sundays. Somebody's got to take the initiative about worshiping the Lord together. And it's Father's responsibility first and foremost. Somebody told me the other day, I was talking about the state that our nation is in. And it's a long ways away from what it used to be. You know that this morning. And they said, we need to have prayer back in the schools. That's what a lot of people says. Well, we need to have prayer back in the schools. But do you know the only reason we ever had prayer in the school to begin with is because we had prayer in the home. And the prayer in the home so influenced society that they had prayer in the schools. But when we stopped having prayer in the home, stopped having prayer in the school. Do you really want that crowd now that doesn't know God, doesn't go to church, mocks everything that a child of God does? Do you want them leading your children in prayer? I don't think that's what we need. I think we need a revival of the family altar in the home. And get the homes to the place once again where the home influences society. We'd be a whole lot better off, but we want to put it off on somebody else. Who's going to take the initiative in your home? It's up to the men to do that. It's up to the mothers to do that. And it goes right on down the line. But there needs to be some initiative on the Lord's Day, even when you don't have church. There's the institution of the Lord's Day. There's the initiative of the Lord's Day. Number three, there's the inspiration of the Lord's Day. Now, you may say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I don't even know how we would go about. What would we do? Well, there's some inspiration here. Look in verse number 8. The Bible said, John saw and wrote down about the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. John had fellowship with a person that had been dead, but he was alive. That's a good place to start right there. You want some inspiration for the Lord's day? We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. That's a good place to start. And so John saw the Lord Jesus Christ, which is to come, the Almighty. There's some inspiration for the Lord's day. That's a good place to start. Verse number 9, he said he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God. Right there's where you start. Just get your Bible down. Start where you know. If all you know is John 3:16, read John 3:16 and go on into verse number 17. It's self-explanatory right along through there. You'll get something out of it. You'll not exhaust the Word of God. Open it up and wherever your finger lights, start right there and go from there. Do something that is centered around the Word of God. There's plenty of inspiration for the Lord's day. You say, I wouldn't know how to lead a Bible study in my home. There's still no excuse. Study your Sunday school lesson. Read your Sunday school lesson together. That get up and listen to the gospel ship. Listen to Preacher David on the radio. There's all kinds of preaching on the radio. There's even some good preaching on TV. Not much, but there's some. There's a little bit on there. One time last year, it snowed and we didn't get to have church. And we brought up online Brother Chris DiGiacomo, he's our missionary up in Massachusetts. And they had church in Massachusetts that Sunday. We didn't have it here. And they live streamed their service. I don't understand how all that works. But we watched him in his pulpit. We watched Sunday school. We participated, listened. And then Brother Chris preached a message after that. That was a blessing. He didn't know we were there with them on that Sunday morning, but we were. So there's no excuse for not having the Word of God in your life, whether we have church on Sunday morning or not. Verse number 9, he said, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know what you could do on Sunday if you didn't have church? You could give your testimony to your family. You parents ought to let your children know that you're saved and how you got saved. So when you die, they won't wonder whether or not you ever really been saved. I mean, you ought to live in such a way that they know, but they ought to be able to tell and remember how it was that Dad got saved. How it was that Mom come to know the Lord. And if your children are old enough and they've been saved, let them tell you how they got saved. That'll increase everybody's faith to renew and remember what the Lord's done for them. And so for the testimony, verse number 9, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit, capital S. That just didn't mean that he was in a good frame of mind, but that capital S, the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God was with John. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us unto the end of this age that we're living in. And so there's plenty of inspiration for the Lord's day if we'll just get it. If we'll just avail ourselves of it. I was reading yesterday about John Bunyan. He wrote The Pilgrim's Progress. And he was in prison for the Word of God and his testimony for over 12 years. And he wrote another book called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. And he said in that book about being in prison, he said, I never had in all my life so great an inlet into the Word of God as now. Those scriptures that I saw nothing in before are made in this place to shine upon me. Jesus Christ also was never more real and apparent than now. Here I've seen and felt Him indeed. Oh, he said, exclamation point, that Word of God that He's given unto me. Well, he was in prison and nobody else around. He said, I've never had such a great inlet into the Word of God as I do right now. Well, it's not more precious to us than it is because we've never suffered very much for the great Word of God we've got on our laps this morning. But if we ever suffered very much, if you've ever been through very much, if you've ever been on your sick bed and wondered if you'd ever get up again, the Word of God would be more precious to you this morning. If it was ever taken away from you, that's how a lot of things are. You don't know how much you appreciate it till it's gone. We've got it so good and we're so free and we take it all so much for granted that I'm afraid it's not as precious to us as it ought to be. Is the Word of God precious to us? There's plenty of inspiration for the Lord's Day. Number four this morning, last of all, there's the instruction of the Lord's Day. Now, John said he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the Word of God. And I asked my family, I said, we're going to study our Bible and see what the Bible says about what we ought to do on the Lord's Day. How should we spend Sunday when we don't have church, can't have church? What does the Bible say about it? That's what I'm interested in. And so we sat down together and we had a concordance there and we had our Bibles and we sat around and I started out Romans 16 verse 5. The Bible said this, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. That was Paul writing to the Romans. There's some people there that had a church in their house. And Paul said, I want you to give a greeting unto those people. Just because there's no church doesn't mean we cannot have church. Christians had church in their homes long before there was ever church houses dedicated. You know, there's a reason why the old timers called the church house. Because churches started in people's houses. And so you don't have to have a building in order to have church. If you got a house, you've got somewhere that you can have church in. And by the way, every house church ought to have a desire to become a church house. So more people can come and you can do and have the ministries that the Lord intends for us to have. But it's all right to have church in your house. We ought to, for saved by the grace of God. Boy, you're looking awful sleepy and tired this morning. Boy, if I was a mean preacher, I'd get everybody to just stand up while I finish preaching. Surely you can give me 5 or 10 minutes this morning. Good Lord, He's been good to us this morning. You ought to stand where I stand sometimes. Just lay down in the pew, you'd be more comfortable. Trying to help us this morning. Abigail said this, Psalms 95, verse number 6. I don't know where she got this from, but I come around to her. I said, what do you think about it? She said, Psalms 95, verse number 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Well, that's a good verse. You know what? If we have church or not, He's still worthy. Let us come worship. Let's bow down. Let's kneel down before the Lord, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Creator. God is worthy of your worship this morning. He's worthy of our attention this morning. I guarantee if you're sitting in the presence of somebody you thought was real important, you'd pinch yourself to pay attention to what they had to say. We come to church and sit back like we're in a recliner and hit the snooze button. I don't know what's wrong with us. One day, honest before God, one day we'll remember how easy we had it. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Kim said this, 2 Timothy 2:15. She said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what? It was a blessing to sit around the table with my family, have a concordance on the table and just open up the Word of God and study together. I learned some things. It helped me. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Noah said this, and you have to know Noah to appreciate Noah. He looked through his Bible, took longer than everybody else, and I said, come on, what you got? He said, I'm trying to be right contextually. I want to be in context. I want to be right. I said, give us what you got. He said, Exodus 23:12. The Bible said, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine thy servant may be refreshed. Do you know what the name Noah means? The name Noah means rest. That's what it means. Noah is not lazy, but he is an energy conservationist. And if he has an opportunity, buddy, he's going to rest. He's probably worked 18, 20 hours this weekend over to radio station, but that's what he said. And this morning I said, that's what I'm going to preach on. He said, I stand by what I said. I said, all right, stand by. You know what? If you and I would not run ourselves into the ground like we do, and we'd take the advice of God Almighty, our Creator, and have a little rest in our lives, you wouldn't be so worn out and frazzled you couldn't stay awake for 45 minutes. Amen. People run themselves into the ground, especially at Christmas time. Run, run, run. People gripe. I catch so much of people being tired of Christmas. I better go on. I'll say something I ought not to. But I'll tell you, it's not all holly jollier and all that bunch of stuff like you see it on TV. It's a lot of stress. It's a lot of aggravation. It's a lot of extra something about nothing. And I'm not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the Lord being born in a manger. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about all this junk. All this junk that robs all the joy out of the simple message that we serve a risen Savior. And it steals all the joy and makes it harder to do anything for God at Christmas time than any other time of the year. Well, I'll tell you, as a pastor, I've thought a lot of times, you just about ought to mark about 6 weeks off the calendar as far as doing anything for God. Because we're so wrapped up in the world and how the world says we ought to do things. We got to run ourselves into the ground from before Thanksgiving till through the new year so we can celebrate Christmas. But less people get saved, more people kill themselves. Amen. More people get depressed. Want to withdraw from what they normally would enjoy. I'm just telling it like it is. But I tell you, if we'd learn to rest a little bit, it's all right to take a nap on Sunday. If you nap during the week, you might be lazy, but if you nap on Sunday, praise God, it's scriptural. You know what? And I told my family last week the sun came out. It happened to be nicer in the afternoon. I said, we could have had church. But I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to go to Walmart just because the sun came out. We're not going to run around. We're not going to act like it's just any other day. It's still the Lord's day. We're not going to the mall. We're not going shopping. We're not doing anything we would do on just any other day of the week. You ought to have a day of rest in your life. Companies have done studies trying to figure out a better way to make a work week. You know what? They've all come to the conclusion. Production is up. Man does better. He gets along better. He's got to have a day of rest. There's no way around it. God made us that way. It ought to be some rest on Sunday. Ought to be a different day. Chloe didn't have a Bible verse, but she drew a picture of us sitting around the table. studying with our Bibles open, and that was her part of it. But I got to thinking about this, looking one more time in our scripture. The Bible said, and I'm closing, chapter 1, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Here we have John. It's Sunday. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He receives this revelation, this vision from the Lord. It said in verse number 19 that the Lord told him, chapter 1, verse 19, it said, write the things which thou hast seen. On this Sunday, John saw the vision that we know as the book of Revelation. And the Lord told him, he said, write them down. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, he said in chapter 1, verse 10, that he heard this voice on the Lord's day as of a trumpet. Look over in chapter 4. It's the next time you find the word trumpet. Now, John gets this vision on the Lord's day. And in this vision on the Lord's day, he hears this voice as of a trumpet, and in chapter 4, verse 1, it said, after this I looked, that's after he wrote the letters to the churches, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. There's that trumpet talking again. That voice, it was the Lord, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee the things which must be hereafter. That's the rapture of the church. I'm not going to preach all through that, why that is that. But John was raptured on a Sunday. I've never noticed that before until this morning. But I believe that John was raptured on a Sunday. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the rapture takes place in chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now, I'm not saying that the rapture is going to happen on Sunday, but the Lord always does things right, doesn't He? The rapture, this might happen on a Sunday. That's the pattern in the Bible. I'd never seen that before, but that's what happened. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and the voices of a trumpet said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I've shared some of this with you before, but there's a songwriter. Her name is Frances Havergal. She is an older lady, and she wrote 7 reasons why she always went to church on Sunday. And her 7th reason was this. She said, I know not how many more days God will give me, and it would be poor preparation for my first Sunday in heaven to have slighted my last Sunday on earth. It'd be poor preparation for my first Sunday in heaven if I'd slighted my last Sunday on earth. And so, what do we do when we don't have church on the Lord's day? You still ought to recognize it as the Lord's day. You ought to worship as the Lord's day. Because you never know, by the time the next Lord's day rolls around, the rapture of the church could happen, and you and I that are saved to be in heaven together. And I'd sure hate to think that my first Sunday in heaven, my last Sunday it snowed and we didn't have church, and all we did was sit around and eat like a bunch of hogs and sleep and watch football all day. And didn't even recognize it as the Lord's day. It's still the Lord's day. Well, God's good. He's given us one more Lord's day. And here we are today. What are we going to do with this Lord's day? Did we come to worship Him? Are you saved by the grace of God? If you died before the sun come up in the morning, do you know that you'd be in heaven with the Lord? It's the Lord's day. It's a special day. More people get saved on the Lord's day than any other day of the week. I got saved on the Lord's day. Did anybody else? Anybody get saved on the Lord's day? That's half or more. That's just one day, 6 other days. It's a Lord's day. What are we going to do with it? We ought to honor and recognize it. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.